Pastor, you grabbed this morning's message. You're already there. Yeah, that's where we're going to start. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. God, as we approach your word again tonight, God, I pray that you would help us. God, I pray that you would help us to see the souls of men as you do. God, help us to have a burden and a care. Lord, that you give us a deeper love for the lost. Lord, I pray that your word would penetrate our hearts tonight. The Holy Spirit would convict us of all righteousness and judgment. Lord, that we'd have a new perspective, a renewed perspective. Lord, help us here tonight. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we spoke this morning, about being committed to prayer, one of the first areas that we discussed was praying for the lost. And sometimes we feel like we are helpless. There are 7.5 billion people in this world, and what can one person do? What can I do? What am I supposed to do? Sometimes it feels like an undaunting task, an overwhelming task, if you will, of trying to communicate and evangelize the world. I was reading a book again yesterday, and it reminded me, it said right in the pages, it was written back in the 50s, but it was said right in the pages that this generation of Christians is responsible for this generation of sinners. What am I supposed to do? Well, night and day, praying exceedingly. Commitment to praying for the lost. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 26. I do not believe tonight's message will be long. You may snicker, but I really don't. I heard a preacher just listening to Brother Brian McBride, and he was preaching, and he started, he goes, I don't expect to keep you long, but then again, I don't ever expect that. So, not sure what you're going to get tonight. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, it says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. They may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's what our prayer ought to be. Our prayer for the lost is that their eyes would be open like your eyes were open. Whether you were 10 or 20 or 30, I don't know, or 40 or 50, whatever your age was at salvation. Salvation was around. How many of you got saved older than 20? Anybody older than 20? All right. Salvation was around all those years leading up to it. But what happened? Your eyes were darkened. You didn't see it. You didn't see the need personally for yourself. When we go door to door and we present gospel tracts, or we're at the cash out line or the fast food line or the guy pumping our gas, especially this time of year, the guy pumping our gas, We'll go out of our way to get to Quickville because they pump our gas. And we give them a gospel tract and maybe a dollar or two just because it's cold or whatever. And we give them that gospel tract and, no, I'm all set. Now, if you put the dollar in there, then they take it. But how can they think that they're all set? Because their eyes are closed. They haven't been turned from darkness to light. So how can we do, what can we do? We can pray for them. We can pray that their eyes would be opened and turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among them which... forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I have something in me that you need. Faith. So we pray. So we pray for the lost. You're going to be hearing about this a bunch, but where are the days of our prayer lists? Well, I keep it in my head. Maybe you're sharper than me, but we're not that smart. We forget things. Who are we praying for to be saved? Who's on your list to pray that their eyes would be opened from darkness unto light, from the power of Satan to the power of God? Who's the next Paul the Apostle? Oh, no one will be Paul. Yeah, how about the wicked of sinners coming to Christ, though? Who's that person that you're praying for? In Acts chapter 7, this isn't in my message. See, this is how we get distracted and take a long time. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, that, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge, he says. As he's being stoned, as he's being killed, he's praying for them. Reminds me of somebody similar. Someone dying on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And who was standing there watching that? Who heard the prayers for his very soul? Saul himself. Wouldn't it be something if, I don't know, this is just, you know where Paul says, hey, this isn't part of the Bible part. You know where he says that in Corinthians? I mean, it made it, and God used it. But wouldn't it be something if some lost person came walking into church and saw their name on the list? That we're praying for them to be saved? What about Brandon? Imagine Brandon walking in and seeing his name. Brandon, salvation. What's going on here? Say, that would flip me out. Did something to Paul to hear the person he's killing praying for him. Lord, lay not the sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Would it do any good to pray for those? Would it do any good for them to know that we're praying for them? Worked for Paul. Just but a couple chapters later, maybe that scene played over his head multiple times. There he was on the road to Damascus, and he was replaying in his head the stoning of Stephen. And all of a sudden, Christ himself shows up. Maybe someone comes walking into our church and knows that we're praying for them, or you send them a message of, hey, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. We make it verbally known, and all of a sudden their life gets turned upside down, and they start connecting the dots. Is that possible? Sure, it's possible. I'm not saying that's how God's going to work all the time, but I'm just saying, if we're not praying for their eyes to be open, to turn from darkness to light, I think that's what we need to do. It is God's will. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. When I used to work in the chimney company, a couple times a week we would go into 5 or 6 or 7 different people's houses in one day. And we would do service a couple days a week, and then we would do big projects the other days of the week. And man, you learn a lot about people just by walking into their house. And I've told you this before. You'd see what people are interested in and what they're not interested in. Brother Nob, you work in other people's houses. Maybe if you get an opportunity to go into other people's houses legally, you can, especially people that you don't know, you learn a lot. And you just kind of look around, see what's on the walls. I had the opportunity to, where's Anastasia? I went into Anastasia's house yesterday, and what did I see? Well, I saw a lot of pictures of family up on the walls. What does that tell me? It tells me that they love their family. I'm just saying, if someone comes walking in here, what do they know about us? Well, they have a good decorator. Everything matches. That's so nice. And then they make the turn and they come and they see the world. They see that missions obviously has some sort of consideration here. Wouldn't it be interesting if there were prayer lists or names or something that identified this as a house of prayer? A big altar? What's the deal with all that space up there? Oh, that's where we pray. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What is God's desire? Why did He die on the cross? He died for all of mankind. He died for the entire world. And He would like them all to be saved. Everyone. Say, no, there's some wicked people. You know, Rick works over in the jail. Oh, there's some people that are. It's God's will that all would be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. This morning in our Sunday school class, we talked extensively about God's will. And what God commands is what we ought to do. We don't have to just go to the Word of God and say, well, it doesn't say it's His will for my life. But if He commands it, that's what He wants. And if we go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, who will have all men to be saved. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's what God desires. Is that what God desires? Is that what God wants? Yes. So what am I doing about that? Whose name am I bringing up before the Lord? Who am I committed to pray for the lost? Look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 44. How many of you believe John or Romans chapter 10, verse 13? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anybody ever hear that verse? Do you believe that verse? Yes. But let's not forget John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. You know what we need to pray for? That God would draw some men to Him. Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, and yes. God's going to be doing the work in somebody's life. And then they'll have a choice, an opportunity to be saved. So who are we praying for to be saved? Whose eyes are we praying that they'd be opened from light to darkness? Fervently, frequently, and completely. Remember, we have not because we ask not. There are seasons and times where we pray for the lost. But how committed are we to it? I'd like to tell you a story and illustration that happened in my life. Before we do that, look at Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And then Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 9 and verse 1, Paul says this, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. What's bothering Paul so much? Verse 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He's so heavy in his heart over his own people not knowing Christ. Look at chapter 10 and verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the United States of America is that they might be saved. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the lost is that they might be saved. Can we say that? It was a good number of years ago. I don't remember how many. I'm sure someone here could help me with it. We were in the old building, but the our service was in the old chapel there. But I was forgot where I was, but I watched Chris's dad come walking in. What? Mr. Buck's in church. Normally, leading up to that, we would be praying, for certain, maybe New Year's or Christmas Eve or something like that, but it was an off time. I don't know why he was here or what the circumstances were. But I felt led. I didn't even go to service that day. I went down in the basement and I prayed for the whole entire service that his father would be saved. Begging God fervently. Completely, exceedingly. I heard the music playing. I'm not kidding. Prayed for 45 minutes, the entire message, simply for his dad to be saved. I believed when I came up those stairs and looked at the altar, he was going to be there. And he wasn't. I was sad in my heart, but I didn't feel like it was a waste of time at all. 9 days later, his dad got saved. Do you remember? 9 days later, he came to church, and just over a week later, he trusted Christ. I'm not saying that happens every time, but it happened that time. I wonder if we took, if God was drawing somebody and we had some people just fervently praying for their soul, what would happen? Praying for the lost. That was a well-invested 45 minutes. That was a well-invested hour. Because all of eternity's changed. Say, well, it wasn't your prayer. Okay, where? I don't know. But who are we praying for like that? Who are we begging God for their soul to be saved? What lost are we praying for? What countrymen of ours are we praying for? Told you tonight I'd like to make it a little more practical. So I printed up these papers. I don't know, I have 60 of them. 62 actually. 61. There's a spot for someone's name. And over the next 4 weeks, I wonder if night and day, there's a lot of things to pray for. I'm not saying that you stop praying for Mr. Colopy and you stop praying. But I wonder if in 4 weeks, two times a day, night and day, we pray for a list of names to be saved. Fervently. Completely. I told you this morning, if we don't change something, nothing will ever be different. I don't have time for... I don't think we can take this lightly. This is the souls of men for eternity. Say, what's going to happen? I don't know. But nothing will happen unless we ask. And I think it's better as a group. We can all make a commitment and come forward and say, yes, I want to be more involved in prayer. But maybe we can all do something together. I know it's just a piece of paper. But if we took a few minutes tonight and just added some names to this list, say, this isn't Wednesday night, what are you doing? Just trying to change something. Just trying to be committed to something. You don't have to. But say tomorrow morning you got up and with your family you did the list. And then in the evening you did the list again. And for the next month you prayed for these names fervently, exceedingly. Couldn't hurt. So can we hand these out? Can we do this tonight? This is it. I have no more verses. We're going to write down some names. And we're going to pray for the lost over the next few weeks. So is this how every Sunday night's going to go? No. Not everyone. But if we're going to get serious about prayer, we got to do something. And if it's handing out a piece of paper with a list of names, I did half sheets so it fits inside your Bible nice. Can we do this tonight? All right. Mr. McDowell and Chase, can you help me hand these out? Can you do that? Can you not eat these? All right, good. If we need more, let me know. Get them out quick. We're going to need pens. Go quick, Chase, quick. Like eternity depends on it. The thing about prayer is, it doesn't need much talking about, it needs doing. And I'm just trying to set us up for doing something. We could talk about prayer and read all the books we want on prayer. E.M. Bounds has an excellent book on prayer. It's complete works of prayer. Do we need more? I printed 60. If you don't know how to read, don't take one. You can share them as a family, maybe. Anybody else need one? If you need one, put your hand up. Ray needs one up here. Ms. Calpe needs one in the back. Mr. Lawrenson needs one. I missed this whole section over here. Do we need more? Okay. Are we good? Emma's got it. Melissa's collected. You got an extra one? Anybody else need one? All right. We need some over here. All right. So this is not praying for health. This is simply praying for the lost. That's the focus. Who else needs one?
One more.
Una más. Sarah. Sarah needs one. Do you have one, Bob? Okay, good. All right. Praying for the lost. Now, I left the section over on the right so we can fill it in when they trust Christ. Because I believe prayer changes things. This is no gimmick. This is just petitioning God that... Maybe if you want to write at the bottom that Acts 26... 18? 26:18. 2 Peter 3:9. 1 Timothy 2:4. John 6:44, those are our verses for tonight. There were four verses. We looked at Romans chapter 9 and Romans chapter 10. Paul was greatly burdened. He was heavy in heart over his countrymen not being saved. Maybe God would change our mind and in our heart as we pray for these this month. Some prayer requests. What we'll start is try and start on this side and go across so we're not going back and forth. Anybody over here? Jay? Arlene Clifton. That's your aunt. Yep. Mrs. K?
Paul and Marcy Fabian.
Paul and Marcy Fabian. Paul and Marcy Fabian, Arlene Clifton. Bob?
Paul Dickinson.
That's your dad. Roger?
My mom, Jenny Nelson. My sister, Bailey Nelson. My brother, Jet Nelson.
Jenny, Jet, and Bailey.
And Lou Frediani.
Lou Frediani. Renee, was your hand up?
Heather Daniels and Kirsten
Anthony's mom. Yep. Heather Daniels. Mrs. Frediani?
Stephen Bogart and his girlfriend Aubrey Kirsten and Louie's girlfriend Mary Smith.
Stephen, Aubrey, and Mary. Mary, like Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Got it. Charity? The Hargraves. Hargraves, their neighbor. All right, this section here. Sophie? Mike and Christine Russo. Mrs. Jabisky? What was the second name? John and
Janet.
John and Janet Jabisky. Jabisky spelled J-A-B-I-E-S-K-I. Right? Did I do it right? Okay, good. Somebody else? Dara? Annie Barnhart. Andy Barnhart. All right. Julie?
Bob
R-E-A. Bob Ray. Jim?
Robert and Noah Bauman.
Mr. Lawrenson?
Lori and Gary
Tobin.
Lori
and Gary? Gary Tobin. T-O-B-I-N. Lori and Gary Tobin. Mrs. Knob?
Mardell and William Lamb.
Mardell and William?
Correct.
Lamb. All right. How about in this section here? Okay, I'll come back. This section here? Mrs. Buck?
Tanya.
What is it?
Tanya Satter.
How do you spell Satter?
S-A-T-T-E-R.
Okay, Satter. All right. Somebody else? Grandma Hank?
Linda Davis.
Mrs. Baer?
Perrine
family.
Jason and Amanda.
All right. Grandpa Hank?
Lou Fisher.
Chris?
John
D-I-B-I-A-N-C-O. DiBianco. John DiBianco. Sounds like a good guy. Somebody else? Chat?
Former violin teacher, Alice Connect.
What, Alice?
Alice Connect.
Alice? How do you spell can that name?
K-A-N-A-C-K.
Connect. The Connect Music School. Got it. Is anybody at the end of their list? I'm at the end of mine, so we might have to flip it over. You have it back. But there's no, you can figure it out though, right? You write the name on the left, salvation on the right. Okay, good. All right. Somebody else? Ryan?
Bradley Kanner's
Yeah.
And
Josh? Is that his name?
I don't know.
Man. Who knows?
He
I know.
And then
Josh. All right. Josh and Daryl Fleischer. All right. Anastasia? What is it?
Savannah.
Savannah. And no H. Savannah Cease. Cease. Can you spell that?
C-E-A-S-E.
And who is that?
My mother.
All right. We'll pray for Savannah Cease to be saved. All right. Ray?
Brandon Curtis and Randy Pauley.
That's spelled P-A-W-L-E-Y. All right. Roger?
I know Molly would want me to petition her brother Ethan Richardson and
her
uncle Chris Richardson.
Ethan and Chris
yes.
Richardson.
Everyone else is safe. There's a lot of it. Those two are not.
Okay. Somebody else. Jim?
I forgot to add Rob's wife, Kristen.
Is it K or C?
K.
K-R-I-S-T-Y. Christy Bauman. All right. Somebody else. We're going to take a whole month praying for these. Can we pray night and day on these? All right. Karen?
For my dad, Gustavo.
Gustavo?
P-A-L-C-I-O-S.
All right, Gustavo. Jen?
My sister Nancy and family and Colin.
Nancy, Colin, and family.
Nancy and family.
Got it. Kelly?
H-U-N-E-R. And also just the my lost family, the Turners and Gillette, G-I-L-L-E-T-T-E, and then Eric's family, the Rice family.
All right. That's a good list. There's just about everybody on here to somebody is really important. Some of these people I don't know at all. Leah?
Jan
Saxton. That's your doctor. Bill?
Yeah. Many of the men that we preach to in Buffalo Battle.
All right. You know, we read in the scriptures of that account of hell. We see the man in hell begging that someone would go and talk to his family. And all of these people are somebody to somebody. It might just be a name on a piece of paper to you, but one day, some years ago, it was Ed Bauman that we never met before. It might have been you that we were praying for to be saved. Someone petitioned God for you. Might have been a parent. Might have been a friend, a co-worker.
But someone was begging God on your behalf. Aren't you glad they did? Surely we could take some time, a couple times a day, and fervently pray. Not just reading a list, but truly begging God for this. Let's take a month and pray and ask the Lord to save these. Night and day, praying exceedingly for the lost. Let's all stand. Appreciate your patience while we did that. Take that list and stick it away in your Bible. Say, I'll lose it in my Bible. Oh, you better not lose it in your Bible. You should have your Bible very close. As I said, not every Sunday night will be like that.